One of the more frustrating things about the Western concept of dualism is that the mind and the body are two separate things. And what happens is there's this belief that within the system that we have, an individual is solely responsible for things like their mental health, what they achieve in life, what their goals are, how they live, how they present themselves. That all gets pushed back onto the individual for the individual's responsibility. And that really separates us from not just the idea that we're connected to one another and that we're connected to the broader universe. It also separates us in some way from our spirituality, because we are taught that our spirituality is something that we have to work on. We have to have that relationship with deity or a higher power or our higher self. And if we are unable to achieve that, then that is our fault. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of toxic positivity. There's a lot of spiritual bypassing. But a lot of it is rooted in the Western Cartesian idea of mind-body dualism. So in this show, I want to talk to you about the three things that I feel like go hand in hand and why they go hand in hand to help us live our embodied, authentic life. Stay tuned. You're listening to Feathermane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. Welcome back. I'm Kit Kailstow, your host of Feathermane Soul Wisdom. Before I dive into this week's show and the three things that I believe are absolutely essential and required for us to fully realize ourselves as our fully embodied, authentic selves, I wanted to put out a little disclaimer. And that disclaimer is, I'm going to be talking about nervous system regulation, and I want you to throw away any thoughts you have that come from our pop culture / psychology idea of nervous system. There are a lot of things that are taught to people, and I have to admit, as somebody with a almost bachelor's in psychology, I've got one class to go, and that class has nothing to do with anything clinical, that they don't teach nervous system regulation. They teach a lot of pathology, a lot of labeling, and in the case of the college I went to, a lot of outdated ideas about learning, cognition, behavior analysis, which is why, frankly, I have that one class left to take. So they don't actually really teach nervous system regulation, at least in the college I went to. And looking at some graduate school curriculum, I'm not seeing that there either. Nervous system regulation is something that we learn by listening to experts, by talking to experts. And as somebody who is neurodivergent, I really pay attention to those in the neurodivergent community who talk about this. So I want to just throw out the disclaimer that when I talk about nervous system regulation, I will not and will not be talking about healing. We'll probably blog about this soon. It's on my list of topics to blog about. But I am not a fan of the Western concept of healing that treats healing something like long-term trauma, which if you're neurodivergent, if you live as a member of a marginalized group in our society, you have long-term trauma, even if you had what you feel like was a smooth path into adulthood. There's something called minority stress that I'll probably dive into as far as what it looks like for a neurodivergent or queer person in a future podcast. But the Western idea of healing is like you have a cut, you put a Band-Aid on it, your cut goes away in a few days. You have a headache, you take Tylenol, you take an ibuprofen, you take Aleve, you take whatever brand name over-the-counter medicine that you want, and a your garden variety headache goes away. That is the Western concept of healing. And in the case of, you know, a paper cut, in the case of accidentally scratching yourself, in the case of if you fall and skin your knees, if you have a headache, if you, you know, work out a little bit too much and you can feel it the next day. In the case of general garden variety ailments, then yeah, that kind of healing works well because we've all had those experiences. Even as somebody with chronic pain, I've had the experience of, you know, working a little bit too hard. My muscles are reminding me, I take an ibuprofen, I take a Tylenol, and hey, I'm good. So that is not the type of healing that I talk about when I talk about nervous system regulation, because if you deal with any sort of long-term trauma, if you deal with any sort of conditioning, any sort of internalization of stories that are not good or for you, that do not represent who you truly are or even the truth about yourself, it takes a long time to untangle those. And even if you feel like you got them mostly untangled, they still can crop back up. It's, you know, I don't want to say weeds because they're all part of us, but it's like if you think that you've pulled all the weeds in your garden, a week after it rains, you see new weeds coming up because of the germination process. It's not something that you can get rid of forever. And if you get rid of them forever, you're using, you know, in the case of weeds, something like Roundup that's really poisonous to yourself and the environment. It's probably not a good way to get rid of these things forever. And that's why, for example, a lot of neurodivergent people talk about ABA, applied behavior analysis, being violence. Again, I'm kind of getting off track, but I just want to throw out the concept that I'm going to talk about nervous system regulation, and I am not doing it from the standpoint of I'm trying to heal you, because I really feel like healing as a concept is very much misused in our society. So with that being said, there are three things that really come together for us to live our fully embodied, authentic selves. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, both as somebody who it took me, you know, well into my middle ages, I'm not even sure what term people, you know, use, my midlife, to start to figure out who I am and what I want. Hence why I'm almost 50 and still in college and on my journey. And hey, it's all a journey. It's all good. But also because the more I start to unpack why I maybe took so long to realize what seemed now like very obvious, and like there were neon signs along the entire road of my life telling me this truth about myself, I start to realize the systemic issues that cause us to not realize our authentic selves, or to not realize our embodied selves. And so that's where I kind of want to start, is the three things that I feel like you need to have in order to present your authentic self. And when I'm talking about authentic self, I mean presenting your real self with, pardon my salty French, but no fucks left to give. This is who I am. I am me. I am not hurting anybody by expressing myself in this way. If you don't like it, this is your problem. It is not mine. I'm trotting out the often used quote, Eleanor Roosevelt, it's not anybody's business. It's not your business what anybody thinks of you. And that is a big lesson that I really needed to learn as somebody who grew up with trauma and a very people-pleasing sort of way, because if I people-pleased, then I didn't get in trouble, I didn't get yelled at, so on and so forth. And people-pleasing is something that even if you didn't grow up with trauma, if you worked any sort of retail, customer service, food service type jobs, you quickly learn to people-please to keep your job, to keep from getting yelled at. It sucks. To show up as your full and authentic self, no shame, no judgment, no apologies. To be fully embodied, to realize that you are a being having an experience, and your experience is wholly and uniquely yours. that is what I talk about when I talk about being embodied and being authentic. And that, to me, ties into our spirituality, our connection to something larger than ourselves, no matter how we visualize that, our global community, our local community, the community that we share with other people who share aspects of ourselves, the queer community, the neurodivergent community, the chronically ill community, the community of, you know, people based on, you know, heritage, how you grew up, all sorts of things. That if you show up like that, no apologies for being yourself, it takes a lot to get there. And when I talk about spirituality and that connection to something larger than yourself, I really want you to think about that as your core voice or your core higher self within. And the most important thing I feel that people need for this is nervous system regulation. And here's what I mean by that. We've all seen the meme, inside you there are two wolves. Well, inside you there are two nervous systems. There is the sympathetic nervous system, which I always remember it S for stress. This is the nervous system, the fight or flight, freeze, fawn. This is the help, I'm in danger, what do I do? Something is happening, I need to react to it. Whether that's a stressful day at work, you're running late, you're stuck in traffic, customers being a bitch, whatever's going on, you know, a physical threat or perceiving a physical threat or an emotional threat, this is your sympathetic nervous system that activates. Your other nervous system is your parasympathetic nervous system. And the way it's commonly explained is your rest and digest. It is the snake that curls up and sleeps after a big meal, the cat sleeping in the sun. It is a baby has a good meal, gets their stomach filled, takes a nap. It is you after eating a large meal, just, you know, kicking back in your favorite chair, comfy blanket, something you like on the TV going, oh. That is your rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system. And it is within this nervous system, and let me note that this is like super, super simplified, but within this nervous system, within this paradigm within your body, again, resting, digesting, processing, memory happens here. Anything that isn't basically trying to save you from an imminent, you know, tiger attack, bear attack, whatever, you know, shark attack, whatever, you know, danger you perceive out there, anything that's not imminently saving you from that is activated in that parasympathetic nervous system. So that's where we want to hang out. We want to hang out in the parasympathetic nervous system because that's where you're not stressed. And speaking as somebody with anxiety, with chronic complex PTSD, with an anxiety disorder, you live a lot in that sympathetic nervous system with those conditions. If you are neurodivergent, I've seen a lot of talk lately about the time and the pressure and the stress that it takes to, you know, am I doing this okay? Are people looking at me weird? To try to quote unquote appear or look or act normal. Just a reminder, normal is a setting on a dryer. But, and I still can't believe the number of people who say they haven't heard that. But anyway, so nervous system regulation is a big one. And one of the common things that's pushed is deep breathing and breath work. And I've also talked about the five senses, activating your five senses, grounding, and, you know, meditation, but a lot of these are pushed in a pop culture way that, one, is geared towards neurotypical people, and two, that would be, I don't want to say dangerous, but could be harmful or triggering to people with trauma. And breath work is a great example of this. Even now, as somebody who is a certified meditation teacher, as somebody who has taken classes on pranayama, which is yoga-based breath work, different ways of breathing, as somebody who has really taken a deep dive into this for several years now, there any type of breath work that has me count my breaths will stress me out, will have the total opposite impact. And that is very common for people that experience trauma. First, because holding your breath is a stress response. Second, because, again, there's that neurodivergent, you know, am I counting right? Am I counting too fast? Am I counting too slow? You know, oh my gosh, I just inhaled a little bit. Did I ruin it all? The brain, and it could be the ADHD as well, but there is trauma there in doing things right. And so a lot of those things that are pitched, like everybody thinks meditation is clearing your mind. We have to learn how these things work for us, and we have to learn how these things react in our body, because we are all different, and no two people, if I give you a breathing exercise, no two people are going to feel exactly the same about it. So learning and exploring nervous system regulation is a great way to start living authentic and embodied. And here's why. Because if you can regulate your nervous system to feel comfortable, and again, I really want to stress, I am not trying to regulate to some sort of societal norm or some sort of this is how you should be. I want you to feel like you're not going to run away in your own skin. I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel like you are calm and steady and not being pushed off kilter. That's what a regulated nervous system is, because stress happens. Things happen. We are always going to have things that come at us real fast. A regulated nervous system allows us to not blindly react to them. And this is something that I have noticed quite a bit, that since I've really, really focused in on this work, I may still do that blind reaction, but then it's not as long. And I usually come back to it even, you know, as quickly as like 5 minutes or so and go, wait a minute, this is my trauma speaking. This is coming from this part of me. This is what's going on. And then I can start to look at things from that well-grounded, well-balanced position. And, you know, sometimes things are exactly what they look like, but sometimes I can say, no, this is coming from a younger, earlier version of me. Give that younger, earlier version of myself some love and support. Hey, I've got you. You know, current me has got younger me. I've got your back. I will stand up and protect you. And you can work at it that way. Our society is not built for nervous system regulation. We have the 24/7 information stream. We're always plugged in, turned on. Somebody's yelling at us about something. And as much as I could talk a lot about the current political situation and what's going on, I have to say that one of the biggest gifts that the end of 2024 has given me is basically starting to go, okay, are they actually informing me, or are they just recycling bullshit to get me upset? I guess this is a cussing episode, and that's okay. But no, it is. And so that helps me, again, regulate my nervous system. That's a tool I use. I am very deliberate about what news sources I turn into. We have this 24/7 stream, social media, and I'm even aware of how different platforms manipulate or don't the algorithm. And so, for example, I like Blue Sky. I'm having a lot of great conversations on Blue Sky. I'm also aware that Blue Sky, like Twitter, even pre-Musk Twitter, is designed to generate a lot of outrage, a lot of hot takes, a lot of jump quick conclusions. I can tell there's a difference in my nervous system when I am on Blue Sky versus my highly curated and very probably narrow Mastodon feed. Likewise for Facebook, I am very deliberate about how I use Facebook. And so I primarily have a feed of people I actually want to follow and hear from, and like a whole bunch of horse and cat pages and music pages and things that I want to hear from. but I'm very deliberate about that because of our ecosystem. That's all regulating my nervous system. If I can dial down the outrage, and there's a lot to be outraged about, but if I can dial down the need to burn everything down and dial up my compassion, my kindness, my, hey, I'm human, we're all human. And that's not to say that I don't call out things that need to be called out. I am very blunt in my opinions. I am autistic. I am not going to sugarcoat it for you. But that, again, is part of regulating my nervous system. If I can just say what's on my mind and not do so in a hurtful way, but in a, hey, this is what's going on sort of way, then that helps me regulate my nervous system. That's why I'm going to talk more about yoga. I'm currently going through curating my Chicken Yogi archives to make sure that I can bring you the Chicken Yogi archives, the Chicken Yogi show, because I still think that that's all valid and good information, even though I've rebranded. So I do yoga to regulate my nervous system. I spend a certain amount of time out with my animals, even beyond doing chores with them, because obviously the horses need to be fed, the chickens need to be fed. There's things that need to be done, but I try to spend some time out there with them, even if it's just a few moments, just breathing some fresh air, touching grass, as it were, to regulate my nervous system. Because what I have found is that I was so busy being stressed and freaked out and burnt out and wore down that I didn't have time for authenticity. I didn't have time to be embodied because I was trapped in this cycle of stressed and worn out and burnt down, but mostly stressed and feeling under threat, that I spent so much time trying to mitigate that. And again, some of that is growing up neurodivergent and not being recognized as such until almost 50. Some of that, I'm a hell of a masker, I'll tell you that. You know, some of that is working in a toxic work environment where I thought that they treated me like friends. I thought that I was part of their friend group and I really wasn't. Part of that is working at a large corporate financial firm that is so big and so large that they didn't have to follow the Americans with Disabilities Act, because that act relies on me to sue them, and you're not going to sue your employer if you're afraid of losing your job. There's a whole lot of factors, but the bottom line is, as long as my sympathetic nervous system is activated, that kept me from being authentic and that kept me from being embodied. So my first goal and my first suggestion is to start to do the hard work. And it's not easy. And it requires, you know, spiritual work. It may require the help from mental health professionals. But again, it may take a while to find the right fit for that. And that's nothing wrong with you. That is just how our system is set up. So then we want to talk about being embodied. And being embodied, a lot of it is just giving yourself grace and understanding that you are human, we're all human, and humans are messy. And to not pass judgment on thoughts, feelings, emotions, the way your body moves or doesn't move, what your body does or doesn't do, how your body does or doesn't respond. That, to me, is being embodied. Because again, if you are trapped in work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, because your sympathetic nervous system has you trapped there, there is no room for grace. There is no room for thinking about the voices that, you know, may send you messages or may send you stories that you grew up with or internalized. There's no room to contemplate. There's no room to pick apart, unpack, and explore things. And then finally, we talk about authenticity. And I realize now I've spent about 2/3 of this podcast talking about regulating your nervous system. So I'm going to come back to embodiment and authenticity, if not on this podcast, then maybe through some YouTube videos. But authenticity is simply being true to yourself. And I've thought a lot about this, especially in light of current situations, because I feel like you can be authentic and you can be true to yourself and you don't have to be an asshole. And I feel like that if your authenticity causes somebody else harm, then that's a point of exploration. That's a point of examination. And when I say harm, I'm not talking about disappointing somebody because you decided to stay in, or even upsetting somebody because you drew a boundary. What I am talking about is denying people's boundaries, denying people's healthy boundaries, denying people's humanity, denying people's ability to just go about their own lives, even in a way that's completely different from you. That, to me, crosses the line into being an asshole. And so I feel like, and again, like I said, I've thought a lot about this. I live in rural Missouri. I've thought a lot about this. And trying to find where the middle ground is, or where the line is between being embodied and authentic and infringing on somebody else's rights or meanings. And this is still a work in progress. And I would love to hear how you're working with that. But to me, you can be authentic as long as you are not causing deliberate malicious harm to somebody else. So again, as long as you are not denying somebody's humanity, as long as you are not denying somebody who, you know, a chance to live their own life that doesn't affect you in any way, a chance to, you know, basically I'm losing my ability to talk here. Sorry, guys. Push your views on somebody else simply for the sake of pushing those views. Now, we can all have conversations and we can all try to come to a point of consensus, but that point of consensus will not be one side is always right, the other side is always wrong. The point of consensus is, hey, this is why I believe that. Okay, fine. Does that count for me? And I think I'll make some notes here. I think I'm going to do some more podcasts on this because I feel like it deserves some unpacking. But being authentic is, you know, hey, I feel better when I dress this way. I feel better when I wear my hair this way. I feel better when I pursue these interests. I feel better. This is who I am. You know, talking about, for example, my spirituality. That is me being authentic. And that is why I bring these podcasts to you, foibles and all, you know, even when words escape me. Thank you, brain fog. To me, that's being authentic. And I know there is this, you know, social media perfect world out there that would say, oh, no, you should cut that out. You should edit that out. To me, being authentic, it doesn't hurt anybody if I stumble over a word. I guess you could argue it might hurt me because somebody might laugh at me. But if somebody laughs at me, that's their problem. That's not my problem. We all stumble over words from time to time. And if somebody laughs at me for that, well, then that's being ableist. That is, to me, authenticity. And it takes regulating the nervous system to come back to that. It takes having a regulated nervous system to not have that hit a really big trauma wound I have about being made fun of or laughed at. And now, you know, now that I am working and exploring and unpacking that, I know that current me has younger me's back on that. Current me would kick the shit out of the people who bullied younger me, to be very honest with you. But the thing is, there is that all goes together. I couldn't be authentic without being fully embodied and realizing that I am a fully embodied being. I could not have a regulated nervous system without having a lot of authenticity in my life. I couldn't have a regulated nervous system without a lot of body acceptance and being embodied. They all three go hand in hand to get back to the to my core thesis here. And I feel like these three things really help us work together to be our authentic embodied selves and to do so in a way that connects us with our higher self or with our inner self, with our soul, with whatever you call it, that when we are connected to that, then we can see how we're connected to others. And then you can start to see if you feel like you're connected to others, you're going to try really hard not to maliciously hurt other people. That doesn't mean don't stand up for yourself. That doesn't mean don't participate in self-defense. But that means examining what you're doing and making sure that your actions aren't crossing a line. So I can't, you know, we're at half an hour here. I kind of want to leave it here for now, but I'm also aware that there is so much more we could say on this subject. So let me brainstorm a bit. Let me put some more ideas on my spreadsheet of ideas, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this in the future. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. And, you know, like, comment, subscribe, drop me a comment, drop me a note. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.